from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
On Register Radio this week, Elena Rodriguez talks with Monica Fitzgibbons of De Montfort Music about the first nuns to ever win an award from Billboard magazine. The Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, have just released their third album, Lent at Ephesus. Also, Dan Burke is here. He'll speak with Dr. Anthony Lillis, author of Secret Mountain, Secret Garden, all about the wisdom of the saints and how we can prepare for Lent. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with our producer, Elena Rodriguez, and Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Thank you so much for joining us. Our first guest today, Monica Fitzgibbons, along with her husband, Kevin, founded De Montfort Music in 2012. They came from a music industry background. They launched De Montfort Music specifically to release sacred music and chant. Decca Records label group, the largest global distributor of classical music, took a very strong interest in De Montfort, which led to the collaboration for worldwide distribution of De Montfort Music. Now, there's a phrase in the radio industry that goes like this, and the hits just keep on coming. Well, I must tell you, that is the byword here for De Montfort Music. Their latest release, Lent at Ephesus, from the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, debuted at number one on Billboard Magazine's Classical Overall Music Chart and Classical Traditional Music Chart last week. The album also earned the number 49 spot on Billboard's Top 200 chart, that's with all music, also the number 2 spot on the Contemporary Christian chart, and the number 3 spot on the Christian Gospel and Internet charts. Amazing. De Montfort Music has become kind of an adventure that Monica and Kevin enjoy sharing with their 5 children, especially knowing that it is reflective of the true and the beautiful. Monica, welcome back to Register Radio.
Thank you for having me on. It's such an honor to be here with you.
Monica, this is Elena, and I can't wait to share with our listeners this delightful chant music. It's so peaceful and so fitting for Lenten reflection. And it's not just the beauty of the art and the sweetness of the music. Each piece has meaning deeply rooted in spirituality. And now I want to ask you about the sacred content. But first, let's treat ourselves and let's take a listen. This is from the Alsace province of France, and it dates back to the 16th century by Richard Roll of Hampel, who wrote music as a hermit until his death. From Lent at Ephesus, this is Jesus, My Love.
Jesus, my love.
Well, you know what they say, singing is praying twice, and the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, are, like all nuns, brides of Christ. Monica, how did they prepare to sing, specifically, Jesus, My Love?
Well, Elena, I know they prepare just how they prepare for everything else, which is through prayer, and also, as you said, they are the spouses of Christ. They are singing love songs, and this song really was amazing. I actually was able to be there when this was being recorded. Of course, we don't take them out of their natural setting. We sort of looked through the architecture and built the control room and built a recording studio and really took our time and recorded them. I was there for the recording of the track that you just played, and they were arranging as they were singing and making sure that this part was just right. I mean, they are just incredibly musical already. These are songs that they're already singing. It's not like a choir that gets together every Tuesday night. They're as one. And so when they sat down to record this, it was more that we were documenting that which was already happening.
Okay, so take us through a quick walk of the album. What other pieces of sacred music can we find at Lent at Ephesus?
Well, there are going to be all different kinds. You'll have your chant and your polyphony and your hymns. There'll be songs that people know, like, Oh, Sacred Head Surrounded, and All Glory, Laud, and Honor, and Adoramus Te.
So some of these are very familiar to us.
Yes, yeah, Stabat Mater, of course. Then there'll be others, like My Mercy, which is an original composition that they wrote. and they have two other original compositions on here, and then other songs that I've never heard of before, probably most people haven't, and they're always singing 8 times per day. I think they sing more than they speak. So once you're doing that with all the office and the Vespers, and these hymns a lot of time will accompany it. You stay at the end of Vespers or during Lent, they have a whole nother treasure of songs that they learn. So there'll be songs that some of us have never heard before, like the Improperia, and that song is actually rearranged in a almost a Eastern Christian mode of with a drone. Each arrangement is more unique than the next.
You almost would think that the Benedictines recruit on the basis of bel canto and educated voices, but we know better. We know God calls each woman, and she must discern her vocation during her first few years at the convent. So how do the nuns reach such vibrant purity? I mean, such harmony, such blending?
Well, that's a good question, because, again, we're not dealing with American Idol tryouts here. we're dealing with real serious vocations, but at the same time, as you said, they get this call, and what is amazing is how young they are.
Their convent was founded back in 1995, is that right? That's very recent.
Yes, exactly. It's a younger group, but at the same time, we're dealing with the fact that they're singing these songs to God, and this is private conversation that's happening, and it's just very beautiful.
Now, how much did the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, rehearse for this particular album? And do they normally sing these chants as part of their prayer time on a regular day?
Yes, they do, but they will. They'll set aside during some of their work time, you know, time to arrange and rearrange and make sure that this is working for them. I mean, they're an all-female choir, but soprano, alto, tenor, bass at the same time, so that takes a little bit of practice, but they're known songs to their communities.
Now, usually, when you think about the making of a hit, you picture a flashy recording studio in a big city, and you imagine there may be a lot of pride and attitude going on, and VIP, very important persons walking in, and, you know, fame usually goes to our heads, and after all, we are human, but I presume those attitudes are not the case with the Benedictines, huh?
No, that's a good observation, because the producer that we brought in has worked with some of the biggest names in recording today. And after they wrapped, he turned to me and said, "Now that was a first. I've never actually had an artist make me lunch."
Wow.
And, you know, he made a comment that he wanted in the press release, which said, "Their music is only outmatched by their sense of charity." And they're very humble. They're very patient. They stand and wait. Most recording situations, you have somebody out on their phone or somebody doing this and that. If it's not someone's turn to sing, they just wait until it is. And that's just naturally how they are. There's really no I in the word team with them, that's for sure.
So what you see is what you get.
Absolutely.
We're here on Register Radio speaking with co-founder of De Montfort Music, Monica Fitzgibbons, about the first nuns to ever win an award from Billboard magazine. And the hits just keep on coming. Okay, so the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, are tucked away in the heartland of Missouri, some 50 miles north of Kansas City. I kind of know the area. I know, of course, you do very well. And they're the first nuns, as we said, to ever win an award in the history of Billboard magazine. And with their first album, Advent at Ephesus, then came their second album, Angels and Saints at Ephesus. You've been involved in the production and marketing from behind the scenes for all three albums. What is their secret?
Well, I think their secret is that there's no gimmick. And the fact, as you mentioned, you know, they were named Billboard's number one classical traditional artist, not only for 2012, but just in case people thought it was a gimmick and a fluke, no, they were also named it for 2013. It's been embraced across faith and mainstream media, and I think the fact that it's so genuine and so unadorned and the intentionality behind it is so honest, that it just comes through, because there'd be no other explanation. They don't tour relentlessly. They certainly don't go on TV and do interviews. And the fact that you're stuck with an old so-and-so like me talking about them instead of them talking about them, you know, they very much stick to their rule of life, the old Benedictine aura et labora, kind of work and pray. We just document that which is already taking place, as I said earlier, and really anybody can enjoy this and you mentioned early on in the program that, you know, it's peace-inspiring, and it's a contemplative, natural carving out of the day. And we all live very busy lives. I think one thing that no matter who you are, no matter what your heart is, you can respond to having that silence and that peace.
And it is so beautiful. The music takes your soul up to meditation, to reflection. It really lifts you up to God. It really is very helpful, as you said. Now, why can't we have the Benedictines on this interview?
From your lips to God's ears. Well, basically, because they are monastic.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that monasticism is they are hidden away, and they don't talk on the phone, and they don't go out. They're very much devoted to what we think of as being more of a kind of an old European monasticism. But it, as you said, it's right here in this country. And so their number one charism is to pray for priests. And so, you know, you go, very few people go there, but if you do, you will see ordination cards all over the place, and that's really what they need to be freed up to be doing. And, you know, right from the beginning, it was, you know, you can have 2.5 days to record us, and we thought, 2.5 days? It usually takes 2.5 months.
That's amazing.
But, you know, whatever they've said, we've always said, okay, we'll make it work. So, you know, preparation is everything. We're really motivated to do this. We want to preserve their monasticism.
And as listeners, we get the best of both worlds.
You get transported into their chapel.
Oh, that is marvelous. So you are our eyes and ears into the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, and into Benedictine way of life. Now, did anything funny, any anecdotes happen during the recording?
You know, when they were recording that first song you played, Jesus My Love, at one point there was a part of that song that wasn't working, and we all thought, well, we're going to be on break for a while. We may have just missed this whole song. And, you know, Mother Cecilia is a very well-trained musician in and of herself. She had a classical background, orchestral career that was very promising, that she left to go and do this. And, you know, when she did that, people thought, oh, what are you doing? But, you know, she took her talents and used them in this way. I'm always so busy doing the details, but this time I was able to be there for some of the songs and really just experience them. And it blew me away how she could just take an entire verse, completely rearrange it, have the sisters practice it, and be ready to go within 20 minutes. I mean, even the producer was pretty amazed by her talent.
That's fantastic. Now, where can our listeners get the Lent at Ephesus album? And keep in mind that some of our listeners may not have access to a computer.
Yes, well, you know, there's Amazon and iTunes, and Barnes & Noble has it in their stores, so you can go in and request it there.
Uh-huh.
The EWTN catalog has it. You know, you could write into the Benedictines if you go to their website. They have it, too. And all the places to purchase you can get from our website, which is demontfortmusic.com. And so I think there's kind of a wide variety of different ways to find a way to get your hands on one of these.
Let me remind our listeners that EWTN will have a 30-minute special called Lent at Ephesus, featuring some never-before-seen sights and sounds of the Benedictines of Mary, just in time for Lent, Friday, March 14th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on EWTN television. And then it's going to air again, the same special, on March 18th at 6 p.m. You don't want to miss it. We'll have more information on EWTN.com. And again, that website for De Montfort Music is demontfortmusic.com. Well, thank you, Monica Fitzgibbons, co-founder of De Montfort Music, for all your good work in promoting and putting this beautiful, beautiful Lenten reflection in the form of music, putting it out there. And it's been a pleasure to have you here on Register Radio.
Thank you so much, Elena. God bless.
My thanks as well, Monica. When we return, are you ready for Lent? I mean, are you really ready for Lent? Dr. Anthony Lillis is here with some ideas that could help you. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
Dr. Ray Guarendi talks about the National Catholic Register.
The Register is catechetical news. In other words, it teaches the news from the perspective of the Catechism. And you can learn all kinds of good things about the church and faithful living through the Register. They cover a wide, wide range. Catechesis, explaining the faith, what's going on in the world, in the Vatican. Good, solid Catholic journalism. The Register helps people cut through the spin. There's no spin in the Register. It is faithful Catholic teaching, analyzing of the news from a Catholic perspective.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Elena Rodriguez and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Dr. Anthony Lillis, is a graduate of Franciscan University of Steubenville. He completed his graduate and postgraduate studies in Rome at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas. Dr. Lillis is a founding faculty member of St. John Vianney Theological Seminary, where he served as academic dean for 9 years. He's also a scholar and author in the field of spiritual theology. His recent book, Hidden Mountain, Secret Garden, A Theological Contemplation on Prayer, is a compilation of discussions with seminarians, students, and contemplatives about the spiritual life. Dr. Lillis, welcome back to Register Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Lillis, it's great to have you on this morning. Your expertise on the wisdom of the saints is renowned, at least in the circles I run in. So I thought I'd have you on to talk about preparing for Lent, but specifically in and through the perspectives of some of the great saints who have helped us to draw our hearts to the Lord in this time. So what I'd like to do is just leave that open for you and tell me, you know, who's had the biggest effect on you in the way you think about Lent.
Sure. Dan, thank you for this opportunity. And probably the biggest influence in my own spiritual life on Lent is someone that is just about to be canonized. His name is John Paul II. And he spoke, Lent is a time of renewing penance in our lives. And in the ancient church, in the very first couple centuries, they didn't have the season called Lent because we lived our penitential practices kind of year-round. We very strict asceticism. At least that's what documents like the Didache, the teaching of the 12 apostles, they suggest. And if somebody was to look at, well, what's the principle underneath these practices, underneath the discipline of Lent? Well, it's to return to those practices of the early Christians and what motivated the early Christians, their love and devotion to Christ. In fact, John Paul II says that penance is love that responds to the mercy of God. And to respond, to receive God's mercy, is to live a life of conversion. So Lent is kind of, these 40 days are kind of like the way we ought to always live. But as St. Benedict says, we get a little negligent, and so now it's time to renew. And with this, then, John Paul II's admonition that whatever we do during Lent, it should be done with love, is a response of love to his loving mercy. That's kind of the motivating principle for all our practices.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're talking with Dr. Anthony Lillis about how to prepare for Lent from the standpoint of the wisdom of the saints. Now, Dr. Lillis, Pope Francis has recently given us some good wisdom about Lent. What did he say?
Well, he, in particular, he was talking about, I'm thinking of more recent comments he's made about forgiveness and about Mass. Regarding forgiveness, everybody kind of remembers, he said, God never gets tired of forgiving, but we get tired of asking for forgiveness. And so this is also a season where we commit ourselves to asking for forgiveness again. And he's highlighted this emphasis of his more recently with comments he's made about the Holy Eucharist. He says that only people who are aware that they are sinners in need of forgiveness should be going to Mass. In fact, he makes a point that the penitential rite at the beginning of Mass is not a pro forma rite that we just do because we're that penitential rite is something that we need because we're in constant need of reform, constant need of examining our lives and submitting them before the Lord in with our examination of conscience, repentance, and conversion of life. And that little penitential rite at the beginning of Mass, that's all about ordering our souls to enter into the worship of the Lord in the right way. And similarly, it's analogous to what the whole season of Lent is. He was talking about the Mass, but we can apply it to the whole season of Lent. Lent is 40 days for us to get ready so that we can celebrate Easter. Easter has a special season of mercy in the right way. And that requires on our part a deeper conversion of life and this movement of penance, which again, it's love that responds to God's merciful love. And we respond to that merciful love, not just by the words we say, but by the way we live.
Dr. Lillis, let's talk a little bit more about a few key saints and their perspectives on Lent. Talk to us about maybe St. Isaac of Nineveh, St. John of the Cross. Give us some insights in how they would guide us if they were our spiritual director heading into Lent.
Well, St. Isaac of Nineveh is very interesting. He wrote a book called On the Ascetical Life. And he, in that book, he gives us lists of proverbs that for us to meditate on concerning how to live a converted life. And as you read through these proverbs, you'll see three steps that kind of poke up. The first step is actually the way we live. He advocates renunciation of the things of this world that distract us from God. And so we could look at applying it today. We could look at how much time we spend pursuing material things in terms of how much time we're investing in making money and being concerned about profit. We could look at it in terms of how much entertainment we're consuming. There's a whole huge industry right now of computer games and internet things that people squander a lot of time on. And he would say, renounce those things if they're not purely for the glory of God. Renounce them so that you have space in your life for the things of God. And then the next step concerns the step of our thoughts. And he says, it's not enough to just renounce things and honors and trying to get a great reputation. We need to renounce all of that, but then we also need to be vigilant over our thoughts. And in particular, he draws from a writer who came before him, Evagrius Ponticus, who talked about how our minds are filled with all kinds of fantasies that emerge from rash judgments. So repentance, in English, comes from Latin, repentare, which means to think again or to think in a brand new way. And what Isaac of Nineveh is saying is that we need to examine our thoughts and renounce those thoughts that are holding us back from loving one another, especially if there's someone we need to forgive, if there's someone that we are harboring bitterness or resentment towards. Of course, we're powerless to be able to do this on our own, but as we discover these thoughts, these rash judgments, Isaac of Nineveh says we need to submit those to Christ Jesus and let go of them, so that we can be filled with the judgments of God, the thoughts of God. And this is probably the most important of all, is he advocates very strongly that we should read the scriptures with wonder. And that's not spoken of enough today, but both he and Saint Benedict coincide on this point. For Saint Benedict, Lent is a time to increase your holy reading or your Lectio Divina, your reading of the scriptures, and you have to read the scriptures with a heart open to the wonder of all the great things God has done and all the great things God can do in your life.
Fantastic. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio talking with Dr. Anthony Lillis, author of Hidden Mountain, Secret Garden, a fantastic book, by the way. Dr. Lillis, we just have a few minutes left. I'll give you the choice whether we talk about St. John of the Cross or St. Faustina. Who would you like to share with their wisdom about Lent?
Well, if you wouldn't mind, I'll say I'll tie their two ideas together. You find St. John of the Cross's doctrine on asceticism in Book 1 of the Ascent of Mount Carmel, Chapter 13. And he says that our asceticism that disposes us to a deeper encounter with Christ Jesus should be rooted first and foremost in an effort to imitate Christ Jesus in all things. And like Isaac of Nineveh and Saint Benedict, he says that we need to study the scriptures in order to understand the heart of Christ. And the heart of Christ was consists in obedience to the Father's will. And so Saint John the Cross says, so out of love and devotion to Christ, renounce in your life everything that is not purely for the honor and glory of God. And that thought of renouncing everything that is not purely for the honor and glory of God, so you have room in your life, space in your life, to do godly things. This is how St. Faustina Kowalska, the secretary of God's mercy, lived. In 1937, in the very last Lent before her death, she was sick in a hospital. They were hoping she would recover, and she does briefly, but then she gets sick again and dies. But while she's in this hospital, she's told by her spiritual director and by her superiors that she's not permitted to do any of the great penances she'd done before. She would fast, she would pray for longer hours, she would offer up all kinds of little sacrifices and inconveniences for souls, and that was all taken away from her because her superiors told her they didn't want her to do all that extra stuff. And so she was left to crochet in her room. That was the only thing she could do. But while she was crocheting, she spoke to Jesus, and she said, Jesus, can I ask you anything? Jesus said, sure. And she said, well, I want you to free a whole bunch of souls from, bring them back to conversion.
Amen. Dr. Lillis, great job. Beautiful story. Thanks for being with us. I wish we could spend an hour, but we've got to run. God bless you for all the work you do for the church.
Thank you. God bless you too, Dan. It's great to be with you.
And don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for that picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For producer Elena Rodriguez, Dan Burke, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.